Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 25th October 2018 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Today we have a lovely bhajan from the yesteryears, a bhajan which is melodious in its tune, melodious in its lyrics, melodious in its bhava. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate.
Probably some of you have heard this bhajan. So now begins this exciting bhajan session of learning Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamalapati. First, let's get familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, and we'll spend time on the beautiful lyrics of this lovely bhajan. Here are the words of the bhajan to get started.
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamalapati. కమలా సనప్రభు కమలా కాంత కమలనాభ ప్రభు కమలా రమణ కమలేశ్వర ప్రభు కమలానాథ.
Now that you are familiar with the lovely lyrics of the bhajan, we will discuss them in great detail when we come to the bhava section of this program. For now, let's get on to learning the bhajan. Here is how the tune of the bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the Shruti G Pancham.
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate. Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate. Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate. ప్రభు కమలాపతి కమలాసన ప్రభు కమలాకాంత కమలాసన ప్రభు కమలాకాంత కమలాసన ప్రభు కమలాకాంత కమలాసన ప్రభు కమలాకాంత కమలనాభ ప్రభు కమలారమణ కమలనాభ ప్రభు కమలారమణ కమలనాభ ప్రభు కమలారమణ కమలనాభ ప్రభు కమలారమణ కమలేశ్వర ప్రభు కమలానాథ కమలేశ్వర ప్రభు కమలానాథ కమలేశ్వర ప్రభు కమలానాథ కమలేశ్వర ప్రభు కమలానాథ కమల నయన ప్రభు కమలాపతి.
So that's poetry in melody, one of those bhajans where even as you marvel at the tune, the lyrics of the bhajan also elevate you. It's not only profound in its significance, it's also melodically so beautiful. So let us now understand which is the raga that has given such beautiful beauty to this bhajan. Anirudh is here to share his thoughts on the technical composition of this bhajan. your thoughts, Anirudh?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
This profound bhajan is based on rag, or I can say the notes are taken from the rag Yaman Kalyan, and it is very common in our bhajans that you have the basic raga Yaman is taken and you add that Shuddha Madhyama also to it, like
Nere ga ma re ga re ne da ne sa.
So this is Yaman.
Sa ga ma pa ma pa ga ma ga.
So there are a lot of ragas which come just by the addition of this ma. Hamir Kalyan and many other ragas. Behag is also having two. So both the Madhyamas are there in this.
Ma.
That is the Tivrama belonging to Yaman.
Ma.
The Shuddha Madhyama from the Bilawal. So combining both the Mas, Yaman Kalyan is a beautiful raga where you have our many bhajans like
Man ek baar hari bol, hari hari bol, hari bol. Man ek baar hari bol.
And the Tivrama comes here.
Hari pita hari mata, Govinda Madhava, Gopala Keshava.
Yet another Yaman Kalyan bhajan.
Shiva Shambho Shambho, Shiva Shambho Mahadeva. Hara 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 Mahadeva, Shiva Shambho Mahadeva. Rama Krishna Govinda Narayana Keshava.
In that bhajan, the third line.
Hare Rama Hare Krishna Sita Rama Raghava Radhika Ramana Madhava Jaya Ranga Deva Radhika Ramana Madhava.
And to add finally to the list, the vintage bhajan which we have done before.
Rama 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 Sita Rama Chandra Pahima Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahima Krishna Krishna Gopala Vasudeva Pahima Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahima.
Beautiful. This is such a lovely bhajan. In fact, even this bhajan, Kamala Nayana, Prabhu Kamalapati, if you hear the vintage version sung yes. by Mrs. Jyotsna Reddy, it is really ethereal.
Yes, yes. In fact, the first time when I heard this bhajan is from that recording. Mm. And then I picked it up from the seniors who sang this bhajan. It's one of the very rare bhajans. The lyrics are so beautiful. And every line has the Kamala word.
Yes. In fact, she mentions in the interview that we had done how Swami was so fascinated. He loved the bhajan. Because Swami, we know how much for him the lyrics were even more important than the tune.
Exactly.
You know, the meaning has to be really, really something very sublime for all the bhajans. And this is a bhajan which is so beautifully structured. I mean, it's definitely divine inspiration. Perhaps this was composed by her father. It could be because during that time,
yes,
and
probably,
she was, yeah,
yes.
Probably Panduranga Dixit sir probably has composed this. So yes, let's delve deep into the swaras of the bhajan.
The first line,
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate Sagama Pamagari Sanida Padanidi Sa Sagama Pamagari Sanida Padanidi Sa Kamala Sana Prabhu Kamala Kata Sari Sari Sanini sani ni sa sa gari ga ma ga ma gari sa kamalanabha prabhu kamalaramana saga saga ma pa 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 ma pa gari saga ma pa saga saga ma pa 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 ma pa gari saga ma pa kamaleshwara prabhu kamalanatha ga ma pa ni da pa 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 ma pa ma pa ga ma pa ma ga ga ma pa ni da pa 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 ma pa ma pa ga ma pa ma ga.
Given how sweet the bhajan is, and you are also inspired by listening to Mrs. Joshna Reddy singing, maybe we should all hear to that olden golden melody.
Yes, definitely.
Kamala Nada, 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 Kam
lovely. Anyway, to complete the session, let's do the beat also.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Aditalam or Kherva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1,
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate. Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate. Kamala Sana Prabhu Kamala Kanta. Kamala Sana Prabhu Kamala Kanta. Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate. Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arun Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram. Now, even as you enjoy singing this bhajan, let us spend some time on the beautiful words that have come together to make this bhajan. And as is obvious, the most beautiful part of this bhajan is how the word Kamala repeats again and again, and Kamala means lotus.
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamala Pate.
We know how every limb of the Lord is often compared to or described in terms of the lotus flower. Kamala Nayana means he is the lotus-eyed one. Kamalapate here means he is the Lord of the Divine Mother. The Divine Mother is also hailed as Kamala.
Kamala Sana Prabhu Kamala Kanta.
Kamalasana means the one who is seated on the lotus. Asana means a seat. So Kamalasana means the one for whom the lotus is the throne. Kamala Kanta again means the one who is the Lord of the Divine Mother.
Kamala Nabha Prabhu Kamala Ramana. Kamala Nabha Prabhu Kamala Ramana.
Kamala Nabha. Kamala Nabha refers to the navel of the Lord. We know how from the navel of Lord Vishnu emerges Lord Brahma, according to ancient Indian culture and mythology. So the lotus is very significant because it is from the lotus navel of Lord Vishnu that emerges this another lotus seat on which is seated Lord Brahma. And the navel, we know, is the central point in our body to which all the organs are connected. When we are born, it is through the navel that the mother's energy, the mother's nourishment, the mother's vibes fill the entire being. It is through the navel that we are connected to our source. So Kamala Nabha Prabhu, we are describing the Lord as the one who has the lotus navel. Kamala Ramana again means who is the Lord of the Divine Mother. Kamala means the Divine Mother. Kamala Ramana, Kamala Kanta, Kamala Natha all means that he is the master of the Divine Mother.
Kamaleshwara Prabhu Kamala Natha.
Kamaleshwara again means who is the Lord of Kamala, the same meaning as Kamala Ramana, Kamala Kanta. Kamala Natha again means the same. So here you have all the beautiful words that describe the Lord and the Divine, describe the limbs of the Divine Lord as well as describe the Divine Mother herself as a person who is represented by the lotus. Now, why is the lotus such a significant flower? Why not any other flower? In one discourse, explaining the significance of the lotus flower, Bhagwan said that the lotus
has its origin in the muddy waters. It is born in the mud. Yet the beauty is, it does not assimilate in itself the mud or the water. The most interesting thing is, even though it is born in the water and cannot survive even a moment in the absence of water, yet it never allows water to get into it. The moment a drop of water falls on the leaf, it does not slide down the leaf. It just instantly rolls down, collecting with it any dirt or bacteria present on the surface of the leaf. In fact, the scientists have been studying this unique property of the lotus leaves, and they call it the lotus effect. And Bhagwan says that this special characteristic of the lotus is extremely significant, and this is why the lotus is so divine. It is in the world, but untouched with the vagaries of the world. Just like the lotus, Swami says, human life is also born in something comparable to mud. It grows in the material world, which can be compared to the water. The divine, when in a human form, also comes into this world, which can be compared, which is like the mud. And the divine lives in this water of material existence, yet the divine in flesh and blood is completely uncontaminated by the physical world. And this is the nature of every divine incarnation, and this is the reason why every limb of the Lord is compared to the lotus flower. They are in the world, but they are beyond the world. Nothing of the world touches them. The divine is ever pure, ever clear, ever unaffected by the world or its attachments and its environments. Just like the tongue has all sorts of tastes and kinds of material, textures of material rolling on it, but the tongue never attaches itself to anything. The tongue is ever pure, just like the lotus leaf. It is because of this pure nature of the lotus leaf that it has been elevated to describe the limbs of the Divine Lord. In fact, on one occasion, when a student asked Swami, why is it that the college and hostel buildings in Prashantinilayam have so many lotus flowers, especially on their roofs? You have this concrete lotus flowers on the roofs of all the buildings of Prashantinilayam, especially the college buildings. And Bhagwan, in that class interview, told the students, these lotuses ensure that evil forces are kept at bay and good and noble influences are attracted to that space. So that is the power of the lotus flower. We know how spiritual awakening is always depicted as the blossoming of the lotus. The Sahasra Kamala, when you even refer to the Kundalini Shakti, the blossoming of the divine energy in us, it is always depicted through the lotus flower. So perhaps if you want to describe the divine in the form of a flower, it is the lotus flower. Just like if you want to describe the divine in the form of a sound, it is Om. If you want to describe the divine in the form of an object, it is the Linga. The Linga is round, like the divine, which has no beginning and no end. So all these symbolisms that we have to understand the divine have immense significance. And when we sing this bhajan, if we can reflect on the purity that the lotus reverberates with, then our thoughts too will become pure as every line emerges from our heart as we sing this bhajan. This bhajan is all about purity. In fact, this reminds me of an interaction that one of the doctors serving in Sri Satsai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Puttaparthi once asked Bhagwan, Swami, when will you stop forgiving us? He wanted an answer to this question. God is kind, no doubt, but to what extent will he tolerate us? That is what he wanted to know. Because oftentimes we fail and falter in our resolve to walk on the path of purity. Soon we realize our folly and we make efforts to mend our ways. And we know how the merciful Lord overlooks our trespasses and he stands by us when we cry for his help. And this happens twice, thrice, 10 times, in some cases 100 times, like the story of Sishupala in Mahabharata. In fact, in some of our lives, 100 transgressions is a small number. Every other morning we decide to correct our ways, but by the end of the day we have traversed into territories that we thought we will not enter into. So this person wanted to know, how much leeway do we really have? When do we become a completely hopeless case for the Lord? When will Bhagwan decide to never look our way again? What is the cutoff limit beyond which there is no redemption for a person? Bhagwan looked at this person's concerned face and Swami very graciously said, I will forgive as many as you commit. And the devotee's heart melted at this overwhelming shower of benediction by Bhagwan. And he felt, there is really no limit to the Lord's compassion. But he did not end there. As Bhagwan left, Bhagwan again turned to this person and said, provided you sincerely repent for the mistakes you have done. Bhagwan did not use the word sin. He referred to the transgressions as mistakes, implying errors committed largely in ignorance. A beautiful incident unfolded during Bhagwan's darshan sometime in the 90s, and this incident is a fitting illustration of what Bhagwan revealed to this doctor of the super speciality hospital. So while granting darshan, we know how Bhagwan generally picked someone's letter, patted someone's head, materialized vibhuti for the third, spoke a word to the fourth, and so on. That morning, a hefty man who had a letter in his hand and a sincere prayer on his lips sat among the devotees. One look at him and you could see the deep yearning in his heart and his pining to submit his petition to Bhagwan. As Bhagwan came closer, Swami looked at his pleading eyes and gracefully picked the letter from his palms. The man's joy knew no bounds. His eyes were fixed on Swami as Bhagwan smoothly glided along, touching another heart with his matchless grace. And the cascade of blessings continued. The man was lost in delight, cherishing the delicate love flow of his beloved Lord. And even as he was watching this, suddenly his face changed. From the zenith of bliss that he was in, he suddenly now slumped into the nadir of confusion. Because to his utter disappointment, he saw Bhagwan drop a letter from his hands. And that letter happened to be his. He was certain about that. He could not comprehend, why did Swami drop my letter? Why did he do that? I thought he had accepted my prayer. But no, he has rejected it. He seemingly took it from my hand, but now he has just dropped it. And this thought broke him. Tears started streaming down his cheeks. His sorrow was uncontrollable. He had thought that Bhagwan would definitely heed to his request, whatever he has written in that letter. But it seemed that that was only for a few seconds. He thought, maybe I am too incorrigible. Even God does not want to have anything to do with me. He was so dejected, so devastated. And by the time he composed himself, the darshan session had ended. But now another thought gripped his mind. Who is this person who has my letter now? It was very critical for him to know who is the person who is in possession of his letter, because he had mentioned several confidential details about his life in that letter, and in no situation did he want anyone else to be in possession of it. So he reached the spot where Swami had dropped the letter, and he saw there a mendicant sitting there with that letter in his hand, and he knew that that was his letter. So he approached the mendicant and he asked for his letter. But this mendicant refused. He said, I'm sorry, this is Swami's gift to me. He directly dropped it onto my lap. This is precious for me. I cannot give it to you. Please excuse me. But this big man protested, no, it is my letter. You cannot have it. I will not permit you to have this letter at any cost. But the mendicant too was equally adamant and unrelenting. Only difference was that given his soft nature, given he was an ascetic person, he was polite, but he was in no mood to part with the letter. And soon a fight began. And Sevadal volunteers came there, because the darshan area is always the most peaceful space in the ashram. The volunteer was surprised to hear raised voices, so he immediately rushed to find out what the problem was, and the Sevadal volunteer calmly heard both of them out. It was a tricky situation. He wondered to himself, the letter may be of the big man, but Bhagwan personally gave it to the mendicant. It is Bhagwan's prasadam to him, so how could anyone ask him to give that away? The volunteer was really at his wit's end to solve this riddle, at the root of which was Bhagwan himself. So finally he prayed to Swami, and right then an idea struck him. And the Sevadal volunteer then said to the mendicant, definitely this belongs to you as Bhagwan personally placed it on your lap. So you please keep this envelope, keep the cover, but the contents of the letter belongs to this man who in confidence had given to Swami. So please return the letter inside the envelope to this man and relieve him of his trauma. You may please preserve the cover as his blessing to you. And this was a solution that neither could refuse. So satisfied with the decisions, the mendicant handed over the cover to the volunteer. The volunteer carefully opened the envelope, took the letter out and handed it to the big man. And as he did this, he figured that there was something else inside the cover. So he put his hand inside again, and what emerged was a couple of currency notes. The burly man said, this does not belong to me. I did not keep any money inside. So the volunteer handed the amount to the mendicant. And the mendicant, the moment he saw the notes, he just broke down in tears. Wiping his face, he said, actually, I was praying to Swami to make arrangements for my travel as I had no money for my return journey. Oh my God, this is the exact amount I needed to go back. I cannot believe this. He offered million salutations in his mind, turning towards the direction of the interview room where Bhagwan was then physically. In fact, the big man was moved, looking at the face, looking at the ecstasy of the mendicant. And he thought to himself, my story, on the other hand, is such a sorry tale. Swami took my letter and just dropped it. And thinking about all that he had written in the letter, he now opened that letter. And as the flap of his letter opened, to his utter amazement, he saw that the letter was blank. There was nothing in the letter. Just 5 minutes ago he had handed it over to Bhagwan, but now the page was completely white. No sign of any syllable. He was shocked for a few seconds, and then it was now the turn of the big man to cry like a child. Does this mean that Bhagwan has indeed wiped all of my past? Has he really forgiven all my sins? As his face became a sea of tears, he confessed, in the letter I had written all about my wrongdoings, and I had prayed to Swami that if Bhagwan accepts this letter, I will know that he has forgiven me. Now look at this. It is all clear. Bhagwan has given me a new life. He has cleared all my past. He has given me a new opportunity, a new chance to be a good man. He could not thank the Lord enough for his boundless mercy. That is what happens during the darshan of the lotus one, of one who is the lotus eyed, who has the lotus hands, who has the lotus feet, who has the lotus heart. He is not only pure, he is constantly making all of us clean of our past, recreating us into a beautiful future. Truth is the greatest purifier. It is in fact the eternal bonfire that burns all that is unholy, and it takes the soul back to its true glory. That is the reason why the Lord is described as Kamala Nayana, Kamalasana, Kamalakanta, Kamala Charana. Every bhajan is meant to purify us. Every time we utter the name of the Lord, it should cleanse us. In fact, that is what is the goal of every bhajan session. That is what is the objective of every time we sit and sing to the Lord. Let us fill ourselves with such sublimating thoughts and sing this bhajan, so that at the end of our singing, we feel we are recreated by the Lord. We feel that we are touched by the Lord and we are now a new being. We are now who is not bothered with the consequences of whatever has happened in the past, but someone who is here to create a glorious future because the Lord has touched us. This bhajan is not only beautiful to hear, it is highly elevating to the soul if we spend time and contemplate on what it means to us. Let's fill ourselves with those vibrations, with those vibes, and sing this bhajan once again along with the students in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamalapate,
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamalapate,
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamalapate,
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamalapate,
Kamala Sana Prabhu Kamala Kanta,
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 Kamala Nabha Prabhu Kamala Ramana,
Kamala Nayana Prabhu Kamalapate,
Kamala Sana Prabhu Kamala Kanta,
Kamala Sana Prabhu Kamala Kanta,
Kamala Nabha Prabhu Kamala Ramana,
Kamala Nabha Prabhu Kamala Ramana,
brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heartfelt gratitude, at his feet, we bring this session to a close. And let's see what is the new beautiful bhajan Bhagwan gifts us for the coming week. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 25th October 2018 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.